Hey, what's up, everybody? Krista here with the Krista and Ed Show. And today, Ed and I are sharing a conversation that we literally just had about half an hour ago on the couch while sipping our coffee on sales. You're not going to want to miss this. All right, all right, all right. Okay, okay, okay. Welcome to the Krista and Ed Show. This is where we are going to document our journey on everything partnership in love and in business. We are not holding anything back, guys. So if you want to learn about online marketing and what goes on in an everyday life of a husband and wife, making these two things work together, make sure you follow us. And guess what? Everything's gonna be all right and okay. Hey, everybody, welcome to the Krista and Ed Show. I am obviously Krista.
I'm Ed. Woo! Yeah. How's it going?
So, you know what? Today, we actually were just having our morning coffee upstairs and we had a really great conversation. I was like, you know what? We need to run downstairs right now and record this.
Yes.
So we were actually talking about sales, right? And Ed is actually, you know, an expert in sales. Like, he is just really good at building relationships and closing deals. And it's actually like a superpower of his, right? And he's been walking around, you know, the last decade that I know him, just like, what? Like, I don't even think realizing that he is really good at this. And it is a skill that a lot of people, you know, don't have, but it doesn't mean that you can't develop it,
yeah.
Right? So we were actually talking and I was like, hey, Ed, I'm like, actually, to be honest, I asked you this question about 5 days ago and it's taken him 5 days to give me the answer. But I was like, no, like, I want to understand this. I'm like, how many dollars roughly in sales have you personally closed?
Okay.
Right? So, you know, he started thinking about it and his careers and all the different, you know, companies that he's worked for or that he's had for himself.
Yeah.
And we started doing the math. And it's actually very impressive.
Yeah.
And I was like, you know what?
I'm a rock star.
Well, I always knew you were a rock star.
Like a chain here. I put on my rock star outfit.
So if you want to know, like, we'll talk about this after, but probably the biggest close of his life is sitting right here.
Oh, yeah.
So, like, this is not included in the total of all the sales.
Yeah.
But anyways, I'm going to let him kind of talk to you about our conversation and just break it down and maybe give you guys some, you know, advice on selling and also, like, not to get discouraged because there's a lot of no's out there that happen. But statistically, I mean, your clients and customers, like, they are wanting and needing the services that you have.
Yes.
So it's like, it's your moral obligation to put that, you know, out there in front of them. And a lot of times they don't even know what you have. So sometimes it's just on how you're packaging it or how you're selling it, or a lot of times talking to the right people.
Yes.
So,
yeah. And I would, and that's a great way to segue into this, because there's objections and then there's, and I guess the way to think of it is there's an objection to listening. So when we were talking about this really large number that I've sold over my career.
Okay, what's the number? Let's just say it.
Well, it's over $25 million that we can account for. So I was trying to go year by year and look and do calculations. So it's over $25 million.
Which is probably even a low number.
It probably is. And that doesn't span my whole career, but I was just thinking of, like, you know, more when I was at an executive level in what I was doing. So we pulled all that, right? Because that's easier to track, right? But, you know.
How many of you can say that you have personally accounted for closing that much business, okay?
Yeah.
And this is not like a one-time, you know, $20 million offer. Some of this is like $300 here, you know, like.
Yeah. And that was, you know, and at the beginning of your career, you know, I kind of think about it's like where you know, doing business to business, and you're really business developing, which technically is door knocking. You're going and knocking on a door and presenting an opportunity of some sort, or collecting information about that ideal client or that who might be a good client, and prospecting, right? And the stats are crazy. Like, you know, 80% of the people want to kick you out of the door when you come to just to say hi. And I'm not talking about like vacuum cars, vacuum salesmen or something like that. I'm talking, you know, when you're going in and you have a business service and you're going into a business and you're knocking on that door or calling them, usually 80% of them do not want to even, they object to listening to you. They don't even want to hear what you have to say. So overcoming that, and then when you take that share, that 20% that's left, and there's a little window there and you have a connection, and now you have productivity to try to lead them and warm them up to have a relationship with you. You know, I know in a previous business that I was in media, they said, you know, like, we want you to quote X dollars, expecting that you're only going to close about 30% of it. So that's where I was like, okay, $25 million in sales. Like, how many no's is that? That's probably 50 million no's.
Or more
that I've had over my lifetime, really. Because that doesn't take into context, like, just knocking on doors or phoning or emailing somebody and them completely disregarding. That's more related to, you know, a third. That's only a third of the activity that probably closed out of all of this. So it's just, it's actually a massive number. I'm like, okay, well, that's 365 days times 20 years or whatever. And holy, I'm feeling old.
You are getting old.
I don't need to get my cane, right? So
anyways, I was like, you know what? We need to talk about this.
Yeah.
Because one thing for me, which is really funny, and I think this is a lot of people listening to this will be able to resonate with this. I always right away would be like, I'm not a salesperson. Right? Because I had this stigma or this false belief or whatever in my head that if you were a salesperson, you were greasy, right? Or no, I'm laughing, but it's true. You were always the exception though.
For some thanks.
But I always thought, like, you know, sales has to be pushy and sales has to be annoying. And, you know, I just had this, you know, belief that if I was trying to sell somebody, then I was doing a disservice in a sense. Right. And when I started, you know, my first business, I actually realized throughout that journey, even though it was online, I started taking on, you know, the position and putting the hat on. I'm like, wait a minute. I am really good at sales because there's so many different ways that you can also sell your product. And I was like, I am good at sales because, you know what? I am getting people to pull out their credit card and give me their money.
They're investing in you.
That is not easy to do.
No.
Especially online, right? But what I realized behind all of that was, for myself, you know, I built a community within, you know, a Facebook group. I was nurturing, you know, relationships, right? And started building a following of women and people who, you know, started to know, like, and trust me. And essentially, you know, those are very important components in order to, you know, do business with somebody.
Mm-hmm. You know what?
So after, like, going through that journey, I was like, oh my gosh, you know what? I am good at sales. Mm-hmm. I am actually a salesperson, and I need people to understand that it's, well, hopefully I wasn't the only person in the world thinking this way, but you have to stop thinking that way right away and start looking at what it is that you're doing, what it is that you're selling, and how you can get it in front of as many people as you possibly can.
Absolutely.
Because people are sitting out there and they're waiting for it. They need it. They want it. Right.
Yeah.
So
you could have a life-changing medical product that eases people's pain, their health, their wellness, whatever it may be. And if you have a false belief about communicating that to them of what you have, then you're doing them a disservice. It really is. I think that the key here is, if you're passionate about what you're selling, like, whatever, if you're selling something that you love and that you truly believe in, then it isn't really selling in a way. You're just showing features and benefits of something that you're passionate about. and you're wanting to help them, or you're wanting to grow their business, or you're giving them a product or a service to help them have more exposure. Mm-hmm. So I think that, like, the salesman kind of thing, I've actually, in a way, my mind has shifted in the last while, but I never really considered myself a salesperson. In a way, I didn't. I'm like, what? I'm telling you.
I thought sales was your middle name until, like, last year.
No.
So I'm like Edward Sales Ledger.
I'm like, I should be wearing the baseball hat that says, I'm the friend you haven't met yet. Like, that's kind of like, really, right?
Guys, and it was like, wouldn't that be good swag? That would be an awesome t-shirt.
Oh, hey, I dropped it like a bomb right there.
Drop it like a
hot. No, but you know, it's like, because I would meet people and go, man, this person's incredible. They have an awesome business. They have a life. They have a family they're trying to feed. And I've got something that can help them do that. So that's where I think people would buy from me, where they might not buy from someone else. So everything I've sold, I've been behind. I don't think I've ever looked at anything and went, ah, like, if there was something that I wasn't aligned with, then I couldn't sell it. Like, I'm not that great of a salesman in that way. Right. And I remember a long time ago, a really interesting lesson.
I think you could sell ice to Eskimos.
Oh,
that's okay.
I wouldn't do that though.
Why?
I would sell them fire starters, things to keep them warm under the little fire, right? So going back to a career in the garment industry, you know, selling, and I had a mentor for a period of time that was the company connected me with, and I remember traveling with this gentleman, and, you know, we're in a hotel room in Seattle. And he was just like, he's so elegant, good looking guy, put together, you know, well dressed, and his tongue was like gold. Like, he just had this ability to communicate and be very, he came off really
authentic,
right? And so I remember him taking me, like, he was my mentor for several months traveling the West Coast of the United States. And I remember him saying one night, after a client had left and we're in a hotel room, it was in Seattle, I think, and we're having probably a glass of wine. And he was like, Ed, the secret to success is faking sincerity. And I thought, this is just did not feel right. Like, it was like, are you kidding me? Like, really? Like, what would you say if I wasn't here? You're selling me. You're selling everybody, you know? Fate had it that months later, he was let go from that company and kind of, you know, went on his way or whatever. And so I actually think the secret to success is sincerity. If you're sincere in wanting to help somebody, or you've got something to give them, to give to the world, to make them better, make their business better, or make their family grow and flourish, like, how incredible is that? So I always was in a frame when I went and visited somebody that I was getting information to develop a relationship. It wasn't actually like, hey, I'm going to sell something. It's kind of like, I notice I'll get people that'll friend request and I go, oh, okay, they know these people and da, 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 da. And you're like, okay, I think they're probably pretty cool. I'll accept their friend request. And then I immediately get a hard sell on a messenger. And you're like, really? Like, I don't know you. And I actually just delete those people. I block them because it's just like, I don't know you. Like, if you want to say, hey, how are you doing? And start to like that you genuinely care. Yeah. You genuinely care. Then, you know, there's something there tangible, right?
You know, it's funny because I've learned a lot too, like I said, over time with sales, but years and years ago, I, was part of a network marketing company. And I have to tell you, you know, I think network marketing companies are great. And mm-hmm. I know a lot of people have had a lot of really good success with it. But one of the things that I feel like there's not, at least for me anyways, it was like, it was more focused on the product when really where you're going to succeed in something like that is by building that team, which essentially goes back to building relationships.
Yeah.
I made the mistake too. I got so excited when I started this. I'm pretty sure I sent that email to like every single person on my friends list and then some. Yeah. And I haven't talked to them in years, right? And I remember being like, oh, why aren't they answering? Why aren't they answering? Why did I sell this stuff? Now that I'm on the other end, I'm like, oh my God, when I get those messages, I feel bad for people because I'm like, ah, it's not even that like they're trying to do something wrong. I just, no. And I remember being so, feeling so desperate, wanting that sale, yeah. thinking that that was what was going to, mm-hmm. you know, make me all the money I needed or, yeah. or change my life. When really there's some fundamental, you know, steps that, that you can learn. And it's not like this building relationship thing is not, it's not just for business. Like, you make lifelong friends doing
for sure.
this, right?
Yeah.
So we haven't officially launched yet, but you're going to start to see some really cool stuff. Ed and I are going to start focusing on, you know, using our expertise in sales and marketing and all the connections that we've made,
yeah.
you know, all around the world, and bringing the best of the best
yeah.
in talent to you guys. And, you know, opening up. Actually, I don't know. I probably shouldn't say, but we want to help families. We want to help people just like us. Now we are working in business together.
Yep.
And we know that we can help a lot of people and a lot of families to create that business mm-hmm. that, you know, they want or they have, and maybe they need some changes.
Yep.
And also, you know, to work with your spouses, right? Just that dynamic. There's a lot of things that you guys don't see, right? Yeah. Like the little things that we're fighting about before we turn the camera on, like lighting, right?
I'll have her in a headlock and then the camera goes on and say, hey, everybody, how you doing?
Yeah, hey.
And her hair always looks great. I don't know.
Anyways, I always just do the decent. Friend.
Yeah.
I'm not going to lie. And I don't know. Should I tell
yeah, them? You tell them. Oh, yeah. This is a little secret of Krista's.
Yeah. So I was actually getting ready upstairs and my yeah. daughter comes in. She's like, Mom, you look so beautiful. I'm like, thank you. She's like, are you going to change your pants? I'm like, why? She's like, well, you're going to do a video. I'm like, yeah, but I'm sitting down. She's like, but Mom, I'm like, Scarlett, this is another perk of being able to create your own life, work from home, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
When you go on camera, you need good lighting.
Yeah.
You have to do your hair in the front.
Look, some of us
look
do.
At the back. The back isn't even honestly done. And you can still wear your pajama pants.
Woo!
You can still be comfy. Anyways.
I'm not wearing pajama pants. So.
No, he's not.
I'm wearing jeans.
Anyways, we're kind of rambling and getting off topic.
Yeah. So the big thing here is everybody has a story. And we have people that are business owners. And they want to grow. They want to be successful. It is a struggle to juggle that with your family, right? Or maybe your spouse or significant other is in the business or in some component. Or maybe they have no interest whatsoever, no passion. And so there's all these dynamics that come up with that. So we want to explore that because we have those dynamics. We both have different successful companies and there were struggles with that. There was friction on both of our parts.
Well, we've gone through yeah. a few different cycles. So when we first met, we were both employees.
Yeah.
Right. So we worked for, you know, other companies. And then Ed started his entrepreneurial journey before I did. So, but I was also still an employee.
Yeah.
And I didn't, like, I was always an entrepreneur at heart in a sense, but you know, there's things with that where it's like when you're a business owner, and I totally get this now, I don't think I could ever be an employee again, to be honest, but like, it's so easy for there to be, you know, distractions and, you know, you still have to juggle your family, your kids, mm-hmm. your time, right? I understand now that when you have a business, you know, despite what the 1% of the unhappy customers, you know, say or leave reviews for you guys, you know, we are like the only people in the world who go to sleep at night, not only, you know, worrying and thinking about your family and how you're putting food on the table or what you're doing next, but we're also worrying about our customers and our clients and are we serving them at yeah. the highest level, you
yeah.
know?
Yeah.
We're not just shutting it off. Like, you're taught in corporate America, like, okay, work is work, home is home, and to shut it off. Entrepreneurs, mm-hmm. like, we can't do that. We're not even wired that way to do
yeah.
that, right?
Yeah.
So it can be very easy, you know, I'm talking about the dynamic before, you know, I entered into the entrepreneurial world where he was putting all his focus, you know, in business and all that stuff. And I didn't understand it. And I started to, you know, honestly get resentful in some ways, right?
Yeah.
I think I was always very supportive, but I started to feel like, oh, why is that so important? You know, like, what about me? What about us? What about, you know, now I'm on the other side. I'm like, oh my God, you're talking to me. Oh, I'm trying to build a funnel. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So there's so many dynamics that we have also gone through just in life that I think that would be of value, and just for people to know and understand, like,
they're not alone.
This is real life, guys. Like, another thing that's so funny is, like, we are kind of opposites in a lot of ways. Like, Ed is a morning guy. I am not a morning person, right? I have tried many, many times to, like, conform to being a morning person because that's what I'm told I'm supposed to do in order to be successful, right? And I've fought this demon all the time, but my body won't allow me to, like, physically, like, I can get up, but I'm not. Like, it doesn't feel normal to me. Like, I don't feel good doing it. Mm-hmm. And I was telling Ed, I'm like, it's like me telling you that now you have to get up at 9 o'clock every day. Mm-hmm. What's wrong?
Oh, you're bumping and
rocking. And he's like, I should, but he wouldn't be able to do that, right? Yeah. His clock is like, it's four, it's five, I gotta get up.
It's 5 a.m., I'm up. And then so by 10 o'clock at night, all of a sudden her gears and engine go into overdrive. It's like, and I'm like,
sleeping, and I'm like, why? I'm narcoleptic. I'm like,
I'm like the kid in grade eight that's like really tired, so they're napping during math, where you're like, and then she's like, hit me.
Anyways,
what's your problem?
Anyways, like, again, we're kind of just rambling here, but I'm just saying, like, those are real struggles and dynamics, especially when now we are trying to build a business and a brand together and we still have children and, you know, all these life. Other things in the middle of it, you know, to really get on the same page, right? And and it's an ongoing process for us, and I think it always will be, right? But it's like, okay, learning to accept and be like, okay, like, I'm not you, you're not me, we don't think the same, right? And really pulling out those strengths and, you know, making it work together.
Yeah, and interviewing people that are going through those same struggles, whether they're a couple that are in a business, or if you have one person that's the driving force and another person is kind of supporting them, or maybe their struggles with that. We wanna explore that so that we can help you on your journey in what you're doing, both business and personal,
So
the one thing that did come from this whole talking about the sales, you know, the $25 million was all of these no's. And so I wanted to address that because I read a stat not long ago and I gave it to a client that I'm coaching and was saying, you know, for their team, they had a team that are selling media. And I said, honestly, like, 80% of the sale is in the 10th, 11th touch point. How many communications, whether you've phoned them, you've sent them some information about their industry, you've called them, you've given them a quote or a proposal or whatever it may be. So what I'm saying to you guys is, so it's not all about the close. It's not all about meeting somebody really quickly and saying, here's what I have and I'm selling it. You know, it's sometimes listening. And believe me, I have my struggles with listening, but when it comes to clients and you're engaged, I always am fascinated what people do. I've had the fortune to tour all sorts of incredible plants in many different cities and different people's operations. So I've always fascinated to go in the back and wander around and check out what they're doing and try to relate it to my past experience. And I think that's part of it. All of a sudden they're like, hey, this person genuinely is wanting to hear what I do and listen and wants to help. And so maybe they're aligned with what I'm doing. And so they're more likely to purchase something that you have or jump into the opportunity that you're giving them. So I kind of wanted to say that, like, when you really think about that, a lot of people will contact somebody. This is kind of sales 101, but it's like, they'll contact somebody, they'll get their information, they'll email them, then they might send them a proposal or a quote for something or a sales sheet. And then they'll make one follow-up call and that's it. And honestly, that's 10%. So we were listening to somebody the other day who was talking about, the 20% above and beyond you go is the difference between just kind of being you know, the average to greatness. It could be just that last 20% is the difference between being average and being great at what you do. So,
just to kind of wrap this up, would you say that it's harder or easier to sell something at a higher ticket or a lower ticket price? Does it take more effort to sell something that's worth more, or more effort to sell something that's...
Well, when I think of my career over the years, when it started, I was selling smaller ticketed items. And so I think that there's, you spend a lot more time on that. There's a lot more no's. When you get into things that are higher ticketed, you typically know more about what that client probably needs. You have an understanding of their business. You've done a bit of research. It's way easier to sell larger ticketed items.
Yeah.
And it's really like this kind of almost the same amount of time.
Absolutely it is. And you want to know what something, and just for you guys to think about, it's funny, like if something is priced too low, people tend to think that there's something wrong with it or it's not worth it. So I remember being, I don't know if we were in Vegas or where it was, but I saw this sign for like helicopter rides.
Okay.
And I think it was like $30 or something like that. As soon as I saw that, I was like, okay, what is wrong with that plane? Like that helicopter, like it's on sale, meaning like it's going to crash into the Grand Canyon. There's no way that I'm getting in it.
Yeah.
I bet you there were a lot of people who thought the same thing. Yeah. It's just subconscious, right?
Yeah.
Now, if it was, you know, $300, I probably would have been like, babe, we should do this, right? No, like, but I'm telling you.
That sounds like her.
I'm just saying, like, you also have to be aware of that sometimes. And pricing your stuff that is a value, right? And you're actually able, you know, to deliver on and all that kind of stuff at a low price point sometimes is also doing yourself a disservice and other people. So just to understand that and be aware of that, right? Because a lot of times we think like, oh, if we price it low, then we're thinking that that's how people make their decisions on price when that's not always the case. Like, you know, some people might buy it because of the price, but they might be not your ideal, you know, client or customer audience at all. And that may turn into a nightmare for you, right? But what is that saying? People pay to play, right?
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. See, the way I would look at that, my brain's going this way, so hopefully I can share, but it'd be like, okay, you've got a helicopter ride. And what are you getting with that? Do you get to spend time with the pilot and you actually communicate that in what you're selling? Do they get to do a tour of the aviation facility? Like, I put a whole bunch of value together around that helicopter ride and then price it at a higher premium where someone's like, wow, I get all of these things. A lot of times.
But I'm just, what I'm saying is just to be aware, if you have a sign out there and you're saying like, oh, meat's on sale for a dollar. I mean, Ed does buy that stuff, but I'm no, we're going to die of poisoning. So I wouldn't even eat it, but just be aware of certain situations. Yeah. That's all I'm saying.
But I can see that, right? It's like, okay, what's the angle here? Why is it so cheap? And that is something that you do have to really think about and really understand, you know, the product you're selling and how you're price positioning it, right?
Yeah. So I don't know how long we've been going now. As much as I like to think that everybody loves to listen to every last word that we're saying, I think we should wrap this episode up.
Yeah.
And, you know, we will have plenty more to come. So I'm hoping that you guys got some, you know, good value bombs out of this. Make sure to, you know, leave us some comments, right? Yeah. Leave us a review on our podcast, The Chris and Ed Show. If you're watching it on Facebook, give us some likes, show us some love. And also
give us the cyber hug, please.
We're also going to be on our YouTube channel where we actually are going to start focusing on trying to grow that. So if you want to subscribe and see some more of this, you know what to do,
there
right?
There you go.
All anyways, have a fantastic day.
Thank you.
You always copy me.
No, that's my signature.
Ed copy.
Signature. This morning, she's putting on her outfit, and she's like, please don't wear white. I'm wearing white.
I'm such a great leader.
And, all right, and you know what? I'm just going to wear black and white.
Anyway, sorry.
Take care.
Okay.
Thank you.
Bye.
Hey guys, thank you so much for listening. If you liked this episode, please go ahead and leave us a review. Do us a favor as well. Take a screenshot, share this episode on your social media platforms on Instagram or on Facebook with your friends. We would love to have them. And for those of you who might be interested in actually watching the video version of our interviews, head on over to our YouTube channel and just look up Krista and Ed and you will see them there. Now, a couple things I wanted to just let you guys know as well. If there's ever anything that Ed and I can help you with when it comes to marketing and sales, head on over to our website, kristaned.com. There you will find some more information about who we are, what we've done, and the types of services that we can help you with. Our most recent, we have launched our virtual CMO program, which we are so excited about. And another thing that you don't want to miss out on, guys, and this is happening the week of April 30th. We have teamed up with Tony Robbins, Dean Graziosi, and Russell Brunson for a very special launch that is going to change the world. So head on over to our website, check out more information about us, and we thank you again for listening.